It's a great pleasure today to be able to welcome Bishop Sam Magisha and his wife Jackie. I've known them for a long time, have visited with them in Rwanda many times over the years, visited them when they were living in Birmingham, when Sam was doing some doctoral work at Beeson Divinity School. And you were here once before during Holy Week and spent the week with us in Holy Week when you were pastoring in Kigali along with Dan Hanlon. So Bishop Sam comes, good to have you today. Just come and bring the word to us, and we welcome you. God bless you. Yeah, you're preaching now. You can do what you want, but preaching is now. Yeah. Bring a greeting and preach. Is your mic on? Okay. Good, good.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here, and it's a joy always to come and visit my friend Canon Jay. It is a great joy to be here with my wife, Jackie. It's her first time to be with you here, but we've been here before in Chicago, but we had not come for the church. So we have a family. We have three children, 14, 10, and 5. They are both they're all girls, and we miss them already, but they're a special part of our family. We live in a place called Musanze. It's a place high in the mountains, very beautiful, and we have a few gorillas in our backyard. Not really backyard, about 2 hours away. Yeah, so those who've been there, you know how the place is. I'd like to share from the text that was read to us, from Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 to 8. This is a text that I've been thinking about of recent, and I felt this would be a great opportunity to share with you. I've been seeing many things happening, well, in Rwanda, but also out here in the United States. And I thought, I think the Lord is using some of us. The Lord is calling some of us, or if not all of us, just like he called Nehemiah. And the gospel that was read to us is reminding us that we must be ready, for we don't know when the Lord is going to be here. But because he sent us, we must be ready. That is Luke chapter 12, verse 40. Be ready, the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you don't expect. When you look at Nehemiah, Nehemiah was a man who was obedient to the Lord, was a man who loved his country, he loved his people, and he had a burden that only the Lord could have put on his heart. When you look at the people these days, different people, everybody seems to care for himself. But for the people of the Lord, they care for others. They stand in the gap. They intercede. They advocate. They are always there selflessly to give themselves away to anybody who needs help. And that is the man we see here, Nehemiah. I know you've been building, and this is what he was also doing. But you don't just wake up one day and you go and build. You mobilize a team. But you can't mobilize a team you don't love. You cannot mobilize a team until you've prayed. You can't mobilize a team until you have that life in you that attracts everybody else. That is the man we see here. And that's the person that I'd like to call you to be today. I know some people feel like, well, the Nehemiah is Jay over there and the other guy who's very talkative. But I want to tell you, everybody, the Lord has called you in his own way, because none of us is there without a talent. Everybody has something the Lord has given, and that is what we give back. And it's only when we receive and give back that we exist. When we don't give back, it's like we die. Something that's so amazing that I discovered is that all the lakes that receive water and they release water are the ones that we call fresh water lakes. And they have life within. And those that receive and never give off, they don't seem to have a life. But when you look at Nehemiah, he received the opportunity to work in the king's palace. And he tasted every wine and he tasted every nice food. He could have stayed there, eaten and grown really round. But he said, I really feel terrible that the land of my ancestors is in ruins. What can I do? And what really amazes me is that he didn't even think about the man who was telling about his history, because this man, his ancestors were part of what the trouble was back in his land. They are the ones who conquered and broke everything. But he had the courage to tell him, can I go and repair my ancestors' land? This is a real attitude of a man of God. He is not scared. He's not thinking negatively. He's thinking positively. No matter the situation, no matter who you're talking to, you say it because you've prayed about it and you're expecting a positive answer. One of the things that amazed me about Nehemiah is that when he prayed, he expected. Do you know that many times, sometimes we pray, but we don't expect. We pray and move on. We pray and forget. I know some of you may be using this machine called the ATM. When you go to the ATM, you know you have money. And when you punch in the secret word and you have your money coming, I don't think you say, this thing is just delaying me, and you walk away. Do you do that? If you do that, call me. I'll be happy to stay there and help you out. When we punch in those words, we expect and we wait. When we pray, we expect and we should wait. The problem is the waiting. Many people cannot wait. And when we look at Nehemiah, he waited for 4 months. This is nothing compared to guys like Moses, and some people have been waiting for 40 years. People like Abraham, they waited until, I think they even forgot about waiting, and they just lived. Waiting is something that we see, it is like a gift. It's patience. Because you trust the one who said it, so you wait. You forget about yourself, and you wait upon him, because the one you're waiting on is faithful. When you look at Nehemiah, he knew who he was dealing with, and he was not going to be scared. He was not going to move away, because he knew the one he was talking to was faithful. He was talking to God, and he always prayed. Before he answered, he said, help me, Lord. It's like, here I come, Lord. And then he'll say whatever he says. I think there is nothing that prepares us for any situation than knowing that somebody is in charge. I'm just a servant and somebody's in charge. You do your part and the one who is in charge fulfills the rest. Nehemiah is a great example for us today. And I'm calling each of you to look at yourself. As we discuss all this, as we share this message, where do you see yourself? The positive attitude. The strong heart that is not giving up. The obedience, because the one who has told you is faithful and you wait. He waited for the right moment to talk to the king, and indeed it worked. The king said, how long are you going to be gone? Another thing that amazes me about Nehemiah and our life as Christians is that he didn't just say, can I go? And then he stood up and went. He planned. He thought everything. This is the other part that I was talking about, expecting. He expected to be allowed, and he planned the next moves. Can I have the letter to the governors? Can I have the letter to the guys who have all the wood? Because I'm going to be building. This guy was so smart. I don't think sometimes I'm this smart. I'm like, but if he does, then we'll talk about the rest. But I've not planned about it. I've not thought about it. But Nehemiah is here praying and setting everything in place. He must have said, Lord, I know you've given me everything I asked for. But again, there was that fear. He's human. Here we see him fearing because he's like, oh, now they said I'm sad. Maybe I'm going to be chased away. But he continues to have the strength to talk to the king, and the king hears him and answers him properly. When you see chapter 1, verse 1, right from chapter 1, there is a chronology of things happening. He had a report, but his visible signs to the king of being sad came later on because he had carried the burden for some time. When you see his desire and his wish to do the work, was that passion he had to see his parents' place really worked on? I think when the Lord calls us, he puts a passion in our hearts. He puts a desire that when we don't fulfill it, we feel sad. We feel there's something missing. And I think that day a human being fails to do what he was created for, then they cease to exist. You're just around, but you really have not lived. We live when we fulfill our purpose. I don't think any of you has ever bought a car and kept it in a garage just to look at it. When you buy a nice car, you use it. That's why you bought it. If it's not used, then it was never bought. Well, there was a transaction, but that was nothing. Well, unless if you're keeping it for the museum for 100 years to come. But we've not been put here just to exist. We've been put here to serve the Lord. There is a purpose for each of us. Until you fulfill that purpose, that's when you feel contented. The contentment comes when you have done what you've been brought to do. But the problem is that sometimes we've been brought into the world and we've designed our own purpose. When you design your own purpose, then you fail to be contented with what is going on because you are not doing what you're supposed to do. You are not in the place you're supposed to be. Nehemiah is speaking to us today that when the Lord puts a call on you and you pray to him, he will answer you and open doors. Nehemiah was called, and the Lord went before him and he opened doors. I never knew I would join ministry. I never knew I can even speak. But these days I don't seem to stop. I don't know what's going on. When the Lord has called you, he enables you. Some of us are so scared because you're like, no, 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 I really can't speak. It's not you speaking. It's the one who has called you who enables you to speak. That knowledge of who has called you makes you stand and confidently do what you're supposed to do. Nehemiah was burdened such that he wept, he mourned, he fasted, he prayed to God to do something about the grievous situation in Jerusalem. I don't know if you people are praying, but before we came, we heard about so much shooting, and I'm like, is this the America we know? What's going? A lot of shooting, people dying, and there was this small report moving around from, is it Amnesty? If you're going to the United States, you need to be careful. Don't go where people worship. Don't go to the mall. I mean, America is the mall, it's the church, then where do I go? But you say, Lord, I'm going with you. Yesterday we went to the, is it the American Mall?
The Mall of America.
The Mall of America. So many people, so many beautiful things, so many happy people. When you look at life, I think we just need to leave it as the Lord has given it to us. But when you bring fear into it, then you change your course of life. Nehemiah could have got scared and said, oh, this guy is mean. His parents must have destroyed our wall. There's no way I can ask him. He put all that besides him, behind him. And he said, the Lord is calling me to rebuild. And he spoke to him. And the Lord used him to open opportunities. He didn't go just without challenges, you know, Tobias and Barat. And these guys, you are not happy. I think there are people who are never happy about great things happening. Everywhere. Even in families. I mean, you just can't sit on the table and agree on everything. There will always be somebody who says no. But when the Lord has opened the opportunity, he also knows how to deal with those people. But I also love the wisdom that Nehemiah has, and that wisdom we should adopt. He didn't go to argue with all these guys and say, you guys, you're nothing, I've been given the letter, and then go into the details. No. He told them, I'm too busy to come. They said, why don't you come and we meet? I'm too busy. Brothers and sisters, we should be busy with the Lord. And when we are busy, we have no time for such things. When we are busy, we have no time to say the words that we don't need to say. I think sometimes the trouble we have is the tongue. I don't know if all of you can tame your tongue, but I think one of the best things to do sometimes is just to try to shut up and say nothing. Especially when you're into leadership, and you have so many people, sometimes you look wiser and better when you just keep quiet. Because if you said everything that is on your heart, you may lose your mind and lose your friends. I don't know what was going on in Nehemiah's heart, but I think it was like, come on, you guys. You said even a fox would break this wall, and now you're inviting me. I mean, that's the normal human being. I'm not coming. You are nothing. He said, I have a project and I'm very busy. What a wisdom. This is a man of God. He's not going to drink himself into these ugly things. He's not going to say any words that are really bringing him down. I think the reason sometimes these people bring you down is because they are down and they want you in that mud also. But a man of God remains over there in God's glory. And his words, they may not be very kind, but at least they are very clear. I'm very busy. I have a project. I don't know what he could have said. Sincerely, each of you knows what you could have said, but when somebody is like calling you and really on you, sometimes you feel like you want to give them one word that will blow them away. But this is not what he does. That is a true man of God, and that's what we've been called to be in the communities. Attract people and start off projects that are helping instead of just sitting there in the comfort. One thing that I had friends who we are visiting, one of the friends said, what really excites you in the United States? I said, there are so many things that excite me. And then he said, what really hurts you so much in the United States? I said, I really feel so bad that you have so many people who know the Bible so well, they've read the Bible, but they don't do anything. All they do is sit in the pews and start criticizing or going through everybody's sermon. I mean, I was in Bison. We had so many really wonderful lecturers. And sometimes when you're having tea, you'd say, so what do you do? So no, 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 all I do is lecture here. Once in a while, I preach somewhere. But I really feel the message that everybody is carrying, you should share it. You know the Bible so well. You could transform so many people's lives. You could plant a church somewhere. And what amazes me is that when you look in the Bible, all these men who the Lord called, they didn't go and explain and expose the Bible and go into theology. They said what was supposed to be said at the right time, and people were transformed. When you look at Jonah, Jonah was told to go and tell the people of Nineveh the message, and he refused. But when he said it, everybody repented. And the way he said it was the most brief, because he was not ready to see these guys change. He said, repent or else you're going to die. And everybody heard, and everybody repented. I think when you're doing the right thing, you don't have to shout. Just do it. And that's it. I think the Lord is calling us to see what is given us and give it away. And only when we give it away do we receive more. Do we grow? I live in a place where there are many farmers, and I've been discussing with these farmers, and I said, do you know that one of the things that makes you who you are is because you have faith? They didn't understand what I was saying. But for you to be a farmer, you need to have faith that I will plant, and the plant that I planted will bring more. But I don't have any energy in between there to decide how many seeds. And you also need to know that when you plant, you don't sit there. You don't bring a chair and then watch the plant. You plant it and you go and you wait. This is what the Lord is telling us. Take what I've given to you and use it, and I'll multiply it. Don't you think it's amazing that you plant one seed and there comes 100 seeds? I mean, what happens in between there from the ground into this big plant? I don't think any of you can explain that. That remains to God. But that's what he does to us when we have faith. We bring what we have, as little as it is, and he multiplies it. Look at a man like Nehemiah. He accepted to be used, and the Lord used him for his glory, for his people. But when we don't do it, then we miss the blessing. It's about faith. It's about obedience. It's about accepting to go. When I was young, I had a brother, and he was 4 years older than me. He was very tricky. One time they gave us lollipops, and he said, you know what? If we planted this lollipop like mom planted the beans, we'll get so many. I said, wow, that would be cool. So we went and planted the lollipops. And I went there every day. I was like, is this thing going to grow? I said, if you pull it up, it will never grow. You have to wait. I think he had eaten it. But then one day I was like, this thing is not growing. So let me check. And I already dug there. It was not there. I think sometimes in life, there are things that we think that they'll be, and they don't. But I want to tell you that those who trust in the Lord and they wait upon him, he renews their strength. And he opens up blessings for them. It is amazing that a seed put in the ground and looks dead and looks like it's rotting will bring a shoot into life. It is amazing that of all things, God gives us his son to die on the cross and to be buried. It doesn't make sense, does it? But when he rises, we all have the life. does this look a bit like a seed? Do you see any relationship there? It may not make sense for you, just like the farmer puts that seed in the ground and goes home. I mean, looks dead, looks hopeless. But what happens later is amazing. The joy of harvest is so powerful. I'm sure each of us, as we continue to serve the Lord, find out what the Lord has called you to do and do it. I know sometimes you may look crazy. Sometimes people will not like what you're doing. One of my sermons when I had just started being a pastor, there was this missionary. I think she said she was a missionary and she was from UK or somewhere. And after preaching, I come out. You know, there's a way back home. After preaching, you greet everybody. And this lady tells me, "I didn't like your sermon." It was a sermon about repentance. I said, "I didn't like it either, but you must take it. Because some things we don't like, but we must take them. I don't think the medicine is so sweet, and I wish it was. But that pain sometimes comes the good things. Through that death of Christ came the life. Through that risk of putting the seed in the ground, the farmer earns so much. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, life comes. Sometimes you may not understand it until you experience it. It calls for faith, it calls for obedience, and calls for waiting upon Him. May the Lord continue to work through you. May the Lord speak to you. May the Lord help you to fulfill the purpose He's called you to fulfill in this world. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for the people You've given to us like Nehemiah. They stood in the gap. They interceded. The advocacy they did. The power, the leadership principles they had that mobilized everybody. The focus they had to serve You and to be positive, and the control, the self-control he had to make sure he doesn't go out. Lord, give that to us. In a world that has gone off the track, in a world that is looking for everything for self, help us to think about others. Help us to think about You, for it's only through You that we can live. In Jesus' name we pray.